Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Moonlight and Magic by Dorinda Jones, narrated by Tracy Odom. Chapter 1. I just asked myself if I'm crazy, and we said no. Meme. I stood on a deserted street and stared at my mother's front door as though I'd never seen it before. Mostly because I hadn't. She'd moved since I put Phoenix in my rearview almost 7 months ago, and the red monstrosity that loomed like a giant mouth waiting to swallow me whole felt as foreign to me as pole vaulting. Or shower sex. But it couldn't be helped. The conversation I needed to have with my mother could not be carried out over the phone. I had questions. Weighed down by luggage, a parka the size of Nebraska, and a Betsy Johnson hairbag I bought with my last dime, because Betsy Johnson, I turned and watched as my Uber driver, my last hope of escape, faded into the distance. Metaphorically speaking. He actually made a left on Elm and disappeared behind a mid-century duplex. Either way, if I were completely honest with myself, standing there watching my one and only contingency plan vanish was simply another form of procrastination. One of many I'd employed over the last couple of weeks, but I could no longer delay the inevitable. The time had come. No more dragging my feet. No more stalling. No more puttering or fiddling or, "Excuse me." A small voice emanating from somewhere on my right interrupted a very tenuous thought process. How many synonyms were there for procrastination? I looked down at a kid on a trike, thankful for yet another reason to delay the inevitable discomfort hurtling toward me like a runaway train. The girl had glistening dark skin, two pigtails on the top of her head that stood up like antenna, and the most incredible set of eyes I'd ever seen. Rich amber irises framed in a centuries-old setting, full of curiosity and mischief and a hint of annoyance. I was apparently blocking her path. Wearing a rainbow tee, pink ruffled shorts, and sparkly cowgirl boots, she rocked her trike back and forth as though unable to sit still, even for a few seconds. Even now. Even with everything that had happened to her. Being new to the whole seeing dead people thing, her presence startled me at first, especially when I noticed the skin scraped raw on one side of her face and down her left arm. Well, that gave me a good idea of how she died. A sadness settled in my chest with the knowledge. Aware we were still in the street, out in the open where anyone could see, I knelt down to her, ignored the creak in my knees, and offered her my very best smile. "What's your name?"
"Apple Ellen James the First. But Grandma Lou told me not to talk to strangers, so I can't tell you that."
I fought a grin. "The first, huh? That's quite an honor." She lifted a slim shoulder.
"Grandma Lou says I'm the first because I'm the only girl like me in our whole entire family."
I didn't doubt that for a minute. "I bet she thinks the world of you," I said, my heart melting.
"She lives in that house."
She extended a tiny finger toward a similarly styled house next to my mom's. Red brick and multi-paint windows, only her front door was a soft shade of sand.
"And we used to live here," Apple added, swinging her arm to my mom's. "But we had to move, and now a crazy lady lives there with a man who smokes."
She wrinkled her nose in disgust, and I tried not to laugh. No wonder my mom could afford the place. She'd hooked up with someone new. Yet again. I could hardly blame the woman for trying to find her OTP, but she'd gone through 5 divorces in her 6 decades on Earth. There comes a time to accept defeat and become a cat lady. That was my plan, at least, especially since the man I was currently in love with died more than 50 years ago and was now haunting my BFF's house in Salem, Massachusetts. C'est la vie. That being said, I did spot a hottie at the airport in Boston. And then again on the flight over. Thick hair as dark as a starless night. What promised to be an exquisite jawline obscured by the upturned collar of a long black coat. The material, cut clean and clearly expensive, emphasized the massive expanse of his shoulders beautifully. But it was his eyes. A shimmering, silvery blue.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?